The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, everybody, we're in the month of June, and unless you've been hiding under a rock or in a cave somewhere and your head's buried in the sand, you probably know that the entire month of June, Satan is on full display, glorifying perversion and what God calls an abomination. And everything from retail to the restaurant industry to Hollywood to the music industry, everybody is holding hands. Not everybody, but most of the world is holding hands with Satan and celebrating the very sins that brought the judgment of God and the destruction of the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want to talk to you today about if these things do not grieve you as a Christian and as a believer, friend, it is time to get in your prayer closet. It is time to get in the Word of God. It's time to get in His presence and get His heart and understand the His will. Because, again, these very things that are being glorified on front and center, on the spotlight, around the world, are the very things that cause the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Look, before we get started, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. Do me a favor. I need you to do a couple things real quick. Let me get this out of the way, and then we'll get right into tonight's program. One, I need you to smash that like button. Hit that bell notification. Hit, again, on YouTube, Rumble, wherever you may be watching this from, this helps us get our messages out there, and it pushes it out on these platforms. And if you've not picked up our free app today, I want you to go by your Play Store, get it on Apple, get it on Android. If you're watching a video of this, under the description, it says download our free app. If you'll go and click on that link, it's going to take you right to the page where you can pick it up today. Again, don't forget to hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away and good to go with every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. And listen, if it's your first time joining us, perhaps somebody invited you into the program, you stumbled across our channel or our message, please let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, 2 Peter, I'm going to go with 2 Peter. We're going to go into chapter 4, 2 Peter chapter 4. And we got a lot to talk about today. I've got some articles I'm going to show you. And again, if these things do not move you, it does not break your heart, it does not disgust you, and you call yourself a believer, it is time to do a self-examination. It's time to get into the presence of God and allow Him to change you so you can see through His eyes and through the Word of God, okay? Come on, I refuse to let anybody who is a follower of our ministry, who sits under our ministry, be deceived and be lured away by deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm not going to let it happen on my watch. 2 Peter chapter 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. Come on, the world needs preachers of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. How many believes that we're seeing the world of the ungodly? And listen to this, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. This is a lot to break down and a lot to consume. There's a couple things here that I really want to break down, and we're going to go by section by section. First of all, God tells us that there were angels in heaven that revolted against him and his authority and his seat of lordship. And the Bible says they were cast down to a place. Now, I know there's preachers that don't want to talk about it. There is Christian networks that don't want to discuss it. But your Bible says that these fallen angels were cast down to hell. Yes, there is a real, literal hell. And there are people there, present tense, that rejected the gospel. They rejected the good news. They rejected Jesus Christ. And they chose to live a life that puts them in the same category as the devil and his angels, by the way, wherein which hell was originally created for, was for the devil and his angels. But all those who oppose God, reject God, and side with Satan and darkness also have laid their admission to the same place of torment. But your Bible says they are delivered there in chains of darkness, and they're going to be reserved for judgment. These angels are going to be released on the day of judgment. We know there's four angels, according to the book of Revelation, that will be released out of the Euphrates River, and that will cause absolute chaos and destruction in the earth during the tribulation. These angels that are being reserved in hell are going to be reserved for judgment, and your Bible says that the saints will judge the angels. Then the Lord Peter tells us through his epistle that God did not spare the ancient world, but saved one of eight individuals, one in which is Noah, and he called him a preacher of righteousness. And he tells us this flood came for the world of the ungodly. And then he shifts gears and he goes to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Peter says that they were turned into ashes and condemned to destruction. So you had the flood of Noah, and you had the destruction of Lot. Now I'm going to go over here. All this is going to tie. We're going to show you some stories in just a moment. But Jesus said in the book of Luke 17, he says in Luke 17, 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Verse 28, "Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, bought, sold, planted, and built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now let's go back to 2 Peter. Again, this is 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice here, in verse 5, he talks about Noah was spared and the destruction came. Then he goes to verse 6. He says the cities of God, Sodom and Gomorrah were reduced to ashes and condemned to destruction. And he says they were made examples to those afterward who would live ungodly. Now here's, look, and he says in verse 7, "And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing lawless deeds." And then in verse 9, "And then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment." Guys, this verse, if you couple Luke 17 and 2 Peter, it clearly tells you that God is going to make, in the last days, God is going to make a distinction between the godly and the ungodly. Those that strive for righteousness, come on, those who are desiring to live godly before God, and those who are choosing to live a life that glorifies ungodliness, lasciviousness, sexual immorality, and what God calls an abomination. He says, and if you, and again, Jesus refers to the days of Noah and Lot. Noah was spared and the ungodly was met with swift judgment. Lot was spared and the ungodly was met with swift judgment. Noah had a bloodline that he was able to get out before the judgment came. Lot had a bloodline and some of them were taken out and they were spared from the judgment that came. Why am I telling you this? Because I come by today for a couple reasons that I want to talk to you today. Number one is that I'm going to show you that undoubtedly we are living in the days of Noah and Lot as Jesus prophesied. Number one. Number two, I wanted to show you through scripture to encourage you because you will become discouraged. Why? Because if you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you and you're actively serving God, you desire to serve Him and be used by God, then you know what? You're going to be grieved and vexed day by day by the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked and the ungodly things that you both see and hear, just like Lot was. Noah was grieved, Lot was grieved in their day because they were lovers of God, seekers of God, and they were of God, but so they shunned the world because it was evil, and they were grieved, they were quenched, and they were vexed. And if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, your Bible says the Holy Spirit can be grieved, vexed, and quenched. So again, this is why I said today, if the things I'm about to show you on this program today and talk about, if they don't grieve you, vex you, and quench your spirit, then it's time to do a self-examination. But I'm going to leave the best for last. I've got a final point that I want to make, but I'm going to leave it until the end of this broadcast, because I don't want to leave you with bad news and gloom and doom and despair and all that and negativity. I got to get to this to get to the good parts here, okay? Now I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to show you some of these headlines. This is, I would say it's unbelievable, but it's not. Philadelphia just made headlines by setting the Guinness World Record. Ready for this? The largest drag queen story hour.
So today in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, you have 263.
Drag Story Time is, of course, a literacy program. Literacy is the foundation for success through life, so that's why we
had never happened before. Something felt different.
My mom told us all we should go to bed early.
Keep up with a free plan juice. Have a sparkle.
Give them all a big round of applause.
We're talking about hundreds of children exposed to gender ideology as drag queens read the alphabet stories and talk about pride. This recent event was held at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia on June 1st. It was sponsored by Philly's official tourism bureau, Visit Philadelphia, and was organized by Philadelphia Gay News. The event attracted 268 attendees, which compiled of a mix of both adults and children. My mind can't even wrap around the very thought that parents would take their children to something like this.
Does a drag queen want access to a child? Can anybody answer that big question? Okay, you're a man and you like to dress up as a woman and go to nightclubs, okay? Flying your free flag high. Now you're demanding access to read books to children? Mm-hmm. Does it pass the sniff test, guys?
Yeah.
No? And then you have
I
women,
would want to do
women
the sniff
out
test
there.
With this one. You know it's really interesting.
We're here. We're queer. We're coming for your children. You've heard this before.
Yes.
Let's all say it in unison, guys. Yeah. Right?
You know, everybody here has freaking gay friends. I have gay family members. When it comes to like the Pride Month and everything, it's like, could you talk about the sexuality of it? It's like, when is it ever cool? Name another month or a day or a moment where it's cool for any group to walk outside butt naked, G-string. And I get that there's like people are bringing their kids, which I think they should, you know, go to jail.
And there's a lot I could say on that, but I want to keep this up on the broadcast. So I'm just going to I'm going to put that in your court and you can do what you want with that and however you feel. But again, if this doesn't stir up something on the inside of you, I'm telling you, man, a Guinness World Records adjudicator was present at the event and verified the world record. Oh, it's just something you need. Aren't you just proud? No pun intended. Aren't you just proud, Philadelphia, that you just set the Guinness World Record for the largest transgender story hour event? Children's books that were read to this audience of children included, I'm going to pull this up so you can see this. Here was the books that was read before these children. Children's books that were read to the young children included "'Twas the Night Before Pride." And then there was the family book, which both touch on LGBTQ culture. Of course they do. And here's a picture of, this is a screenshot of, look at all of these people just sitting on the floor. Here's the drag queen reading to them. Kevin the Unicorn. It's Not All Rainbows. That was also read. Hello, Philadelphia. That was another book. And Elmer. Were also read by drag queens at the event. In a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, on Saturday, Visit Philadelphia touted the record-breaking event. They touted it. Oh, they were so proud that they set this record. Quote, it, quote, brought together famed Philadelphia drag performers. Philadelphia, the birthplace of America, today secured a new Guinness World Records title for the largest attendance at a drag queen storytime reading. Look at this. According to Visit Philadelphia's 2023 annual report, the organization disclosed that it received $16.6 million in funding. 84% of its funding came from Philadelphia's hotel tax and 9% came from grants and contributions. When Fox News inquired if the Drag Queen Storytime event was funded by taxpayers, Visit Philadelphia did not immediately respond. Again, here is another shot of this. If you're watching the visual of this, this is a picture. Look at these. Look at all these parents. Look at all the parents among children there. Let me tell you why else this grieves me. And woe unto the parents and the organizers and the host and those reading it. Let me give you a verse of scripture for you. Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were tied around his neck. I'm not going to say the other word here. Again, trying to use some wisdom here. And that they were tossed into the sea and no more. Again, you can read it for yourself on your screen. I'm just trying to improvise here to use wisdom. Wow. Jesus clearly says here that if you cause children to stumble, to embrace sins and abominations, you will be held accountable and you will receive judgment for that. Come on, is this too strong a preaching for you today? Y'all remember the Boy Scouts? I remember growing up and the Boy Scouts were a great place. You could take, you know, your sons and you could put them into Boy Scouts and they would learn all these skills and they would learn to, you know, to communicate with one another and form teams and work problem solving, and they learn all these things. Well, those days are over, friend. And now the Boy Scouts have succumbed to this stuff.
Well, one of the oldest organizations in America is getting a new name. The Boy Scouts of America say it's time for a change.
NBC Barry's Ian Cole explains the debate this name change is sparking.
After 114 years, the Boy Scouts of America is turning into Scouting America. The organization's president announced the new name at their annual conference today in Florida, saying it'll make the Scouts more inclusive and welcoming to everyone. The local chapter in the South Bay is cheering the decision.
It reflects our inclusive mission. We want everybody, all children, regardless of their gender, to be part of our program, and we want them to join us.
It's the latest in a series of recent changes for the Scouts, which allowed girls to join for the first time 5 years ago, including Dylan Terzak of Scotts Valley, who ultimately became an Eagle Scout at just 14.
I think it needed to happen for a long time, and it provides a huge sense of inclusion, and it gives girls and boys both the opportunity to explore the outdoors, learn leadership skills, and it shows that there's no limit.
The group also made a decision to allow gay scouts in 2013. Today, there are just over 1 million scouts, including more than 176,000 girls and young women.
Roger A. Crone, who is the president and chief executive officer of Scouting America, said that, quote, though our name will be new, our mission remains unchanged. Then why change the name? Why? It's a rhetorical question, by the way. I know why they changed the name. You know why they changed the name, guys. The political correctness, the wokeness, all this stuff, guys. Our nation is just, again, it's year after year. It's not getting better. Things that were sacred, things that were traditional, things that we built our memories around growing up as a child, they're gone. They've been destroyed. This woke culture has completely obliterated and destroyed civilization as we know it. Quote, this will be a simple but very important evolution as we seek to ensure that everyone feels welcome in scouting. Listen, I went to, recently I went out of town and went to the state of Virginia, and I was down there. We do this about once or twice a year, and we go down there and we spend time with family. And I was talking to some of my, it wouldn't be on my side of the family. It wouldn't be my nieces, but it would be my wife's nieces. We were talking to some of them, and they go to high school, and they were expressing how they're getting pulled out of high school and they're being homeschooled. And so I asked them, what made you decide this? And listen, is one of the young ladies told me that it's so bad in her high school. Now, this is in Virginia, in the state of Virginia, in her location, that they were putting litter boxes in the restrooms because of so many people, so many kids that identified as cats and dogs or other various animals that needed to use a litter box to do their business and not a traditional toilet. And again, there would have been a time, friend, if these kids would have, A, said that they were a cat, a dog, a raccoon, a possum, a red cardinal, whatever, that the teachers, the faculty, whatever, would have laughed at them and said, okay, let's move on now, let's go on. But we have come to insanity. And not only are we saying, well, you know what? Maybe they really are a red cardinal. Maybe they are a raccoon. Maybe they're a dog. Maybe they're a cat. Maybe they're a possum. So we have got to cater to them. And so the school is facilitating litter boxes for these people to use the restroom in. Are you kidding me? This is absolute insanity. You guys need to find out what's going on in these public schools where your kids are going to. If your kids are still in public school, you better be aware of what's going on. And I'm going to show you why. We're going to get into some of this stuff. Here's another headline. Three French drag queens are set to carry the Olympic torch. Three drag queens were all chosen to carry the Olympic flame as it makes its way to Paris for the Summer Games coming up next month in July. According to the report, Nikki Doll, Miss Martini, and Mimi Geste, however you pronounce the name, these French drag queens became the first, Miss Martini became the first drag queen to ever carry the Olympic flame, according to an Instagram post that they made. Let me show you the Instagram post. Oh, you got to see this. Here is the Instagram post. And there they are. There He is holding the torch. And you can see right here that they, again, was chosen one of three to, again, carry the torch to the Summer Games. I want to read this part right here. I thought this was interesting. One of the messages, and now this is from one of these drag queens. One of the messages I want to carry is the pride in my community, because look at this. 10 years ago, having a drag queen carry the torch would have been unimaginable. Well, you've got that right. You're absolutely right. Thank you for proving my point. Again, I want to look at me and look in this camera. If you're still doubting and you're still unsure and you're on the ropes and you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't really know if we're in the last days. How much more proof do you need? Now I want to shift gears, go back to the school aspect. Since we've been talking about this, I want to show you this article. If you live in Maryland, this is huge news. If your kids are in public schools, listen to this. Maryland parents cannot opt your children out of LGBTQ book curriculum. This is according to a court ruling.
Take it to Montgomery County right now, where Maryland's largest public school system does not have to allow parents to opt their kids out of lessons involving LGBTQ themes.
Yeah, that federal appeals court ruling coming down today in response to a lawsuit that was filed by Montgomery County parents.
Yeah, guys, so this center is all around LGBTQ storybooks in classrooms. Parents who want to opt their kids out say the responsibility should be with them, not with the schools. They tell me they are disappointed with today's decision, but they do plan to appeal. It is an issue that Fox 5 has covered extensively for the last year. Thousands of parents gathering at rallies, protests, and school board meetings. On Wednesday, a divided federal appeals court ruled that Maryland parents cannot opt their children out of LGBTQ inclusive book curriculum in classrooms. This stems from a lawsuit brought by parents in Montgomery County. Eric Baxter is the senior counsel at the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, representing roughly 300 parents, Muslims, Christians, and Ethiopian Orthodox, who want to be able to excuse their pre-K to fifth grade students from those specific materials.
Issues around sexuality that are simply too mature for such young children.
Some of the book titles include The Pride Puppy, Uncle Bobby's Wedding, and Born Ready, The True Story of a Boy Named Penelope. Last year at rallies and school board meetings, Fox 5 also spoke with MCPS parents who oppose the opt-out policy.
I mean, I don't want to go down the slippery slope of maybe a Christian parent doesn't want their kids exposed to a Muslim family in a picture. You know, where do we draw that line?
We need many more books and not less books, because young people are amazing. They're sponges and they don't have hate. Hate is learned.
However, one thing that the group representing parents who do wish to opt out wants to make clear is they are not asking for these books to be removed from the classrooms.
We understand that there are different parents who have different perspectives. All parents should have the right to decide if something's inappropriate for their own child and to remove their child from the classroom in those circumstances. And I think that's something that every resident of Montgomery County can get behind.
I'm going to start with Ephesians 5:11. I know you guys like to indoctrinate kids, so I'm going to indoctrinate you tonight. There you go. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what I'm doing here today, and that's
come on.
What I did 2 years ago when all of you tried to indoctrinate the children by sending them to a drag show. Do you remember that, Jody?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you invited little five-year-olds to a drag show? Do you know what Encinitas Union School District is known for across the world? Grooming children. Can you believe that? That's what you're famous for.
This lady is holding nothing back. The gloves are off, and she even quoted scripture and letting them have it.
That's what you're known for. Are you proud of that, Andre? And for the record, just by a raise of hands, because I think this is important. I know you can't speak. But how many of you, by a raise of hands, were okay with the book My Shadow is Pink? Raise your hand on record that you're okay with the book My Shadow is Pink. None of you are okay with it. None of you are okay with it. Why do you think it's okay to indoctrinate and push your sick ideology on five-year-olds? That's called grooming, Andre.
Wow.
Okay? It's not okay. It's not okay with us parents. And I warned you 2 years ago. I will do everything in my power to expose the evil that you are doing in Encinitas. What you are doing has no place in this city. There's a lot of Christians here tonight. And guess what? We are making our voices loud and clear. Do you hear us?
Wow. Man, she's got me fired up. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I'm fired up. See, this is what I'm saying. If, again, light expels the darkness. So if we just raise our voices, and that's what she's saying here. We're done with it. We're sick of it. It, you know, there's always a remnant, friends. This should encourage us. There is a remnant out there pushing against the darkness.
Keep your books. In fact, you know what? You can indoctrinate kids all day long. But see this flag? This stands for freedom. And we, the people, have the freedom to opt out. So guess what? All you teachers, you can keep continuing your grooming. We're going to opt out as Christians. And if you don't accept our opt out, we'll see you in court.
Come on, drop the mic right there. Wow. Wow, what a fiery speech right there. Again, could you imagine about 300 of them in a room? I'm telling you, that's this stuff would stop quick. Here's another article. Quote, a bill banning transgender notification policies in California schools clears the first hurdle. What? What is this talking about? California lawmakers in a key committee on Wednesday approved a measure to, listen to this, prohibit public school districts across the state from setting policies requiring parents to be notified if their children identifies as trans. Look what these school districts are doing, friends. They do not care what you think of regarding your kids' security, their safety, their sexuality. They don't care if you've trained them up in the way in which they should go. They don't care about it. They don't care if you if you believe what you believe. They don't care if you're against their ideology. They don't care. They're passing legislations and laws. This is just absolute madness. They're passing laws and legislation that's forcing us to comply or there'll be consequences. You either get your kids in this curriculum or there's no opting out. And if you try it, there'll be consequences. And then they wonder why, friends. They are perplexed and baffled why so many people are pulling their children out of these institutions and these grooming facilities. It's not a no-brainer. Hello, people are waking up. They're tired of this. Listen, if you want to identify as whatever and you want to have 600 genders and you want to be proud of your sexuality, that good for you. You could do that. But people are getting tired of this stuff shoved down their throats.
Walmart has gone woke now, too.
Oh, boy.
Along with everybody else.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this commercial.
Oh, boy.
Buckle up.
All right, here we go.
Pride Always, I feel like, is not just a slogan. It's that sense of community at the end of the day.
I'm really, really grateful to Walmart for giving me this opportunity to spread a little bit of happiness.
While I was creating my collection, it was important to me for it to be positive and uplifting.
Okay.
Choosing a favorite piece is sort of like choosing a favorite child feels a little unfair.
I think Queer and Eerie, which is the skulls with the rainbows, that's my favorite.
It's the You Matter journal. The self-reflection is important to be able to write into paper.
Fanny pack that says I heart gay people.
The pink apron. Oh, I'm very excited to use it with my kids in my kitchen.
I mean, they're just pocket products.
Totes gay just really tickles me.
Totes
I love a pun.
The picnic blanket.
Yeah.
I think the pool floaty is what got me.
The pool float.
It's so good.
I was like, what?
I'm amazed at the artistic talent that I'm surrounded by. I think it's all really exciting to be a part of.
Yes. That's great.
And do you really think that Sam Walton, who founded Walmart and Sam's Club, by the way, look it up, do your research. He was a born-again Christian. Do you think he would approve of this? Absolutely not. He would have never approved of this. He would, as the old saying says, he'd be rolling over in his grave if he saw this.
Products for
right, that's
Pride
all they're
Month.
Doing. That's it.
For Pride
right,
Month.
Right, for Pride Month.
Good deal.
Did you see, by the way, Florida is not going to participate in Pride Month. Good. Lighting up their bridges with rainbow colors. DeSantis said, we're not doing that.
Hashtag hate.
And people are all pissed off about it.
Of course.
Look, why should we all be expected to celebrate somebody else's different sexual preferences?
Exactly.
Why do I have to? Why is that on me that I have to celebrate that with you? And for an entire month?
Right. I think that's the issue.
Why? Or why do I have to celebrate their gender confusion? Wow. If you want to celebrate those characteristics, go ahead. But stop slamming it in my face. I don't have to. As soon as I start demanding you celebrate the fact that I'm hetero, not just for an hour or a day or a week, but a full month, by the way.
And by the way, a bar in Idaho, they named June Heterosexual Awesomeness Month and was giving free beer to straight men. This absolutely, you could imagine the fury and outrage that came from this because they named June Heterosexual Awesomeness Month.
You have 11 other months.
And then I force you to fly some kind of hetero flag that I'm designing, and you have to fly that at your home and your place of business and on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And every single television show and movie specifically points out that they have to celebrate my sexual preference.
I mean, every single movie and TV shows are really struggling to get viewers these days. So good luck. We'll see.
Yeah, because people are sick of it. They're fed up with it. Go woke, go broke. That's what's happening to Disney. And they're still pushing this stuff out. The new Star Wars series is going to have this stuff in it. They just don't get it. Why are we hemorrhaging money? Well, hello. Somebody needs to pull somebody aside in the upper echelon of their production and executive directors and so on and so on to say, hey, here's probably why we're hemorrhaging money, we're losing viewers, and it's tanking. It's because people are done with it. They're fed up with it. Did y'all see this story that come out of New York? Of course, New York City. Who would have thought, right? A new sexually transmitted fungal infection. Never seen before. First case in the U.S. And we're gonna talk more about that probably tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast on Friday. So I don't want to go into full detail on this. So we'll save it tomorrow because I want to talk about plagues and pestilences on steroids. We're seeing stuff again, and I'm going to pull some passages of scripture out. And I'm going to give you my perspective. And you may not agree with me, but that's okay. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. But now we've got a new STD fungal infection. First case in the U.S. And it's been discovered in New York City. Now, we know the Bible tells us and warns us that through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul told us that in the last days, in the latter times, that there will be some that will depart from the faith. And because they're giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Okay, so I expect, one would expect that we're going to see more and more of this. It's going to increase. Let me leave you with two stories of hope here. One is a recent poll, and another is I'm going to show you from the Bible the hope that I have, okay? Let's go with this article first. Here, this is from the Christian Post. Most Protestant pastors oppose gay marriage and mainline support stalling. According to a recent report by Lifeway Research, most Protestant pastors in the U.S. continue to oppose same-sex marriage. Come on, that's some good news. So even though there's some falling away and departing the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, according to one recent poll, the majority still stand on the Bible. So there's still, somebody say there's still hope for the United States. Now this comes on the heels as an announcement was made that the United Methodist Church has lost, listen to this, they lost more than 1 million members in one single 24-hour day when the group took a stand for God and his word. Let me say that again. This is astounding. The United Methodist Church lost more than 1 million members in a single day. And you know what the split was over this issue right here? Because the United Methodist Church came out in support of gay clergy, LGBTQ clergy, and 1 million members said, no, we stand for what the Bible says. You know what this reminds me of? Remember when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he went and he hid? Jezebel was chasing after him. It's amazing. He defeats the 450 prophets of Baal, and then strikes them down. Then he runs from Jezebel, from her threats, and he goes and he hides under a broom tree, and he prays that he might die. And the Lord shows up and encourages him and tells him, because Elijah thought he was the only sole prophet left in the land, and God encourages him and says, I have preserved 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Friends, listen, as dark as it's getting, and it's getting dark, as wicked as it's getting, and it's getting wicked, as disgusting and vile as it's getting, and it is, there, these polls and the fact that 1 million members left a church because of where they stand on what God calls an abomination and the acceptance of it in the church, this lets me know, friend, that there is still a remnant in the land that have not bowed their knee to Baal. They've not bowed their knee to this woke agenda. They've not bowed their knee to abominations and perversion and the demonic forces of hell that is wreaking havoc in our country. And I want to remind you, let me leave you with this. In your Bible, when we go back to 2 Peter, remember, the Lord spoke through Peter and told us in the scriptures that righteous Lot was a man that had to live among them. Listen, we can all relate to him. We can't go out of this world, friends. We can't hide from the world. It's everywhere you go. It's on billboards. It's in newspapers. It's on your phone. It's on your laptop. It's on the television. It's in music. It's in the industries. It's everywhere we are. We're inundated with, again, the filthiness of the conversation of the wicked that we hear, that we see, that we're exposed to. And your Bible says that righteous Lot dwelled among them and was tormented by this evil. But I come by to give you some good news today. When the fullness of time had come, when God said enough is enough, when the iniquity became full, God reserved Lot and his family and preserved them from judgment. And he made a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. I come by today to tell you on this June 6, 2024, that I know it's getting dark out there. I know it's getting perverse out there. And I understand. And your prayers, you're saying, Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Lord, how dark is it going to get? How perverse is it going to get? How wicked is it going to get? When are you going to come from heaven and blast that trumpet? Come on and split that eastern sky and call the church home. Friends, listen, I can't tell you a day. I don't know the hour. The Bible says that no man knows the day nor the hour, but we can discern the seasons, the times and seasons. And if Jesus said in Luke 17, he said, if you want to know what it's going to be like before the judgment comes and I separate the righteous from the wicked and spare them from what I am about to bring upon the earth, he said, just go back and read history. Know what I did in Noah's day. Know what I did in Lot's day. And when you begin to see those things happen again in your day as they did in Noah's day, as they did in Lot's day, today. You need to know that these were examples to those who afterward would live ungodly. And God says the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Listen, I come by today, and I want to close this. It is absolutely imperative, friend, that you don't just hear this and listen to this and just get spiritually fat with this information and with this revelation. We have a mandate, and we are to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You need to take this message of warning. You need to give it to your neighbors. You need to give it to your friends. You need to give it to your family members. You need to give it to your coworkers. You need to let them know and sound the alarm that time is running out and that the cup of the iniquity of the wine press of the wrath of God is getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And friends, when the day that that cup becomes full, that cup will be poured out. And I believe when it gets poured out, we will enter into what the Bible calls the tribulation. So we've only got so much time to work with. Jesus said it like this: let us work while it is yet day, because night is coming, friend. And I want to leave you with Luke 21:28. And Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Listen, if I don't know who may be watching this, you may stumble across our program. Somebody may have invited you in and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, it is not that complicated. The Bible calls us to repent. That simply means to turn from our own ways. Turn from the perverseness of this world. Turn from our sins and our iniquities and our trespasses and transgressions. Stop living a life that serves our flesh. Turn from that and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is the Messiah. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. Jesus said there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, but it's through him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you try to go any other way, if you try to go over the gate, under the gate, through and behind the gate, around the gate, he said, you're not going to get in. You will be caught off guard, friends, and you don't want that. So I'm pleading with you today, repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Come on, let us pray right now. Father, I thank you for your word today. I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would forgive me of my sins, wash me of my transgressions, wash me of my trespasses and my iniquities. Lord, cleanse me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that you are Lord, you are Savior, you are Messiah, and that you died and rose again from the third day so that I may have eternal life, and that where you are, that I can be with you as well, because you're coming back for me. You're coming back for a bride that is without spot nor wrinkle nor blemish. And I just want to be ready. I want my name to be on that registry of heaven in that Lamb's book of life. So I pray today that you would forgive me of my sins, wash me in the blood of Jesus, and put my name in that Lamb's book of life, and lead me and guide me from this day forward through your word, through getting connected to a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, doctrinally sound, or a group here that I can thrive in and be encouraged in and grow in my faith. And Lord, I pray this today, and in Jesus' name, all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, I pray that if you've made that decision, then I pray that the Lord bless you. He'll keep you. His countenance will continue to shine upon you, and that you will continue to grow in your faith towards him. Listen, if you'd like to know more about our ministry, keep up with our ministry. Again, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Just hit yes, push notifications. You're going to be squared away. If you'd like to financially support our ministry, perhaps you'd like to become a monthly partner, you can do that two different ways. Right there on your screen, you can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can simply give by check or money order. You can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30653. 855. Listen, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, thank all of our partners, because it's you that makes these programs available through your generous partnership and your support of our ministry. So we're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, on June 7th, Friday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got another really heavy message that I want to get across. And again, I believe it's another sign of things and where America is going if there is not a genuine unified movement of repentance and turning back to the true and living God. So until we see you guys tomorrow night, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.